Essentially, they break down in two big envelopes. One is the envelope for social protection, and the second one is the envelope for investment. Social protection is needed, and when I say social protection, I mean income transfers to the extreme poor, in order to enable them to start soon to buy or to produce all the food they need. And this means sufficient and nutritious food. Of course, transferring money is something that works immediately, but it may not be necessarily economically sustainable in medium long term. So that's why we need to complement these social protection programs with investment, particularly pro-poor investment. Let's say investment which is able to generate income in the hands of the poor without a specific accent on the pro-poor qualification of investment, poor risk to somehow be left behind by the normal growth processes.
The report notes that a business-as-usual approach would still leave approximately 650 million people hungry in 2030. What is wrong with the current approach?
Of course, extreme poverty is generated by many factors, you know, conflicts, lack of assets, extreme climate events. And in general, the end point is that it materializes in terms of lack of purchasing power and lack of assets to produce income, you know. What has gone wrong so far is that we have relied too much on growth without any qualification. Okay, we talk about proper growth, but this proper growth has not been proper enough. And there is a second aspect that we want to underline. People can't wait until growth materializes to exit hunger. People need to get to exit hunger now.
So what is being proposed as a better approach when we're talking about potential scenarios?
All in all, the approach that we suggest, combining social protection at $1.25 poverty line plus investment, which progressively takes place, is something affordable and something doable. Of course, some countries, particularly low-income countries, may require to be supported because they may not have enough domestic resources to fund the proposal that we put forward. And this is also a claim to mobilize resources, to mobilize external resources to support them. Other countries, low-middle-income countries, may be in a position to find fiscal space to fund these programs.
The paper is being presented just a few days before the Third International Conference on Financing for Development in Ethiopia. How will this new report and these new figures contribute to the conversation?
I believe that who can fund what is going to stimulate the debate about the attention that high-income countries have to put on how to sustain the proper growth of low-income countries. So this is a very first implication. A second implication is probably for all the countries themselves to look forward and to look at the way they conceive the welfare of their societies and take stock of the findings of the Rio Plus 20, building the future that we want. I mean, of course, this is a challenge. We don't want to have a type of development which is not sustainable because we want to get rid of hunger once for all. And these are, I would say, modest contributions to the debate, complementing other contributions from other agencies, from the governments themselves, from the civil society and non-governmental organizations and so on. But I mean, this is in the framework of what we can do.